The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show off a busy weekend. Sam Monson with Pro Football Focus will be with us. Sam will break down the Cardinals draft. And then Jude LaCava and Bruce Cooper. You know, both Jude and Bruce are Valley icons, legends in the broadcast industry that both left during COVID. They both punched out during COVID and really not talked to them about what they're doing. And I know they're still plugged in with the Cardinals. And so I want to get facts and opinions from Jude and Bruce. That comes up at about 10:40. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Claudia's with us. The impeccable golf swing of Claudia Faust was part of our foursome on Saturday at Ocotillo. Yeah, we took a break from the draft and went and played in the Hamilton football golf tournament. And before any of you at other high schools just start hounding me and banging me over the head, we do a lot around them, and we do a lot around the Chandler School District. We have a partnership with them. So I feel like the right thing to do is to have a foursome. And Claudia said, look, I'm a stud. I'm a ringer. I hit the ball a long ways. I'm going to carry you guys. And so she did. It's good seeing you.
Good seeing you. It looked good in the beginning when I sunk that putt, but everything else from there was downhill. So
she gets let's back up on that. Let's back up on that. Okay. All right. So I ask you to play and you're like, oh, I'm not very good. You know, typical sandbagging. And then we get out at Ocotillo, which has water everywhere, like the worst place for somebody who's a newbie at golf. And what did you do on the very first hole? What did you do?
I don't know from how far out it was, but you just were like, okay, go take the putt. And it worked out, I guess, but nothing else from there. I found the water most of the time, although okay. I did skip over the water a lot too. My ball would kind of just like skipping rocks somehow land on the other side of the water.
Okay, so to be fair on this, because golf is huge in this community, those of you that played Ocotillo, you know when you drive in that there's water and there's this long par four. You got a clear water on the first one, and Claudia found the water in her very first swing. Fine. Happens. All right? She gets up there, and I said, you got this putt. And it was, I'd say, 25 feet. And Mike Stricker, who was great, he was a great coach for you from Sagicor. Yes. Mike was really calming you down because I stunk. I took a lesson and I had no clue where I was. And Eric was with us, and he was pretty good, right?
Yeah, he did well.
But you roll this putt in on the back of the green, which people that have played that course know that it kind of slopes around like a punch bowl, and then it goes downhill. And you just stepped up, and you looked at it, and drained it. And I'm thinking, we're gonna win. We're gonna be minus 15. We finished what? Minus two.
I think is what you said. Yeah. Eric and I kind of forgot to keep score after like the 14th hole, which is when I think we started to feel pretty tired. Eric and I had both talked about, I think he also said he's only ever golfed 9 holes. And I've only ever golfed 9 holes like 3 times. So this was by far the most I had golfed. And I think our brains kind of stopped functioning around hole 14, 15, something like that. But I think that was beginner's luck for me.
Okay, get out of here. What are you kidding me? So my wife, who has met Claudia and loves her On the Rocks feature, says to me, so how did Claudia do? And I said, I think she kind of ran out of gas around the 16th hole. And she said, no, she didn't. There's not a chance. She's in phenomenal shape. There's no way. You're the one that should have run out of gas, old man. And so she's banging on me. You have a fan in my wife, so I think the two of you have to go out. I think you're just a stud.
Oh, that would be good. She'd probably be good at giving me some lessons. But no, I think you're definitely accurate. I think I skipped the 16th hole. I was like, I'm just going to sit out on this one. I need to recoup a little bit.
All right, so the draft was this weekend. The Suns clinched a playoff spot. The Diamondbacks took 3 of 4. Anything in sports that really caught your eye? I know that you've been running, doing a whole bunch of things, but was there anything that really caught your eye from the weekend? Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I guess the obvious thing is just what I went to, which was Phoenix Rising's first home game.
We saw each other Friday night, too.
Yes, right.
Long weekend.
It was a busy weekend. I felt very separated from the draft just because I was busy all 3 days of the draft with other non-draft things, but I did sit in on the Zaven Collins. Actually, no, I didn't. I found the YouTube of the live, but he's the only one that I really got to watch. So he seemed like a good guy, good addition to the team. Likes Kyler Murray, but yeah, Friday was definitely the highlight for me because it was actually being back out at a live pro sporting event at the new stadium. Super fun. That crowd is always a blast. So it's kind of nice to be recording on the fan club side of the field. So
Benito's side.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Claudia and I were both at Phoenix Rising FC. I felt like whenever a new stadium opens, I need to be at that because that is a big deal. And we'd done a bunch around the draft. So I didn't feel guilty at all taking off Friday night from the draft because the team had it. And I went with my wife because I wanted to see like the ingress, egress, like things that fans say, was it easy to get into and out of? Was the stadium cool? Was the this, the that? And I thought, I don't know about you, but because you're into soccer like I'm into soccer, right? Would you say soccer is your thing, one of your things? Would you say that, Claudia? Is that fair?
No, I guess I wouldn't go as far as that, but it's the only sport I grew up watching. But kind of what got me into sports was baseball. So I'm big into baseball, love football. They're kind of all top. It's definitely top three. I just feel like they're all interchangeable depending on, like, what's more prominent that time of year. So I kind of just like adapt to like, is it football season? Is it baseball season? And then soccer season, but it's definitely top three.
So we're there and I see you over in the corner. I'm texting you, come over at halftime. There was a guy that sat three rows in front of us. We had pretty good seats and we're right behind San Diego's bench. And the head coach of San Diego is the legendary Landon Donovan. Those of us that have followed the soccer scene here in Arizona know that San Diego last year walked off the field and it didn't sit well with Rising fans. And I had no problem with what San Diego did, given what was said and what things escalated, whatever. And so this fan just decided to ride Landon Donovan for the whole half. And I'm just, and he's with a date. And it's like, really? This is what you're going to do for, and I don't, I get that fans want to get out there and they feel like, hey, I can get into somebody. But, like, this dude was just there only to get into Landon Donovan, not pay any attention to soccer. So I thought that was a little much. I had breakfast the next morning with one of Rising's owners, and we were talking about, you know, some of the Rising guys own a club in England now. They bought a club, Claudia, in England.
So I did see that.
Yeah. I was angling to send you on a trip over there to do a this kid. You would not say no to that.
I would not. Never say no to travel.
Yeah. Are you doing On the Rocks this week?
I am. I think so. Things are starting to get hotter, so I need to go find somewhere a little bit cooler. So I think this next hike will probably be an overnighter for me on Thursday. I might try to go up north to Flagstaff I'm not quite getting into, there's a lot of river hikes I have planned, but I'm waiting for it to get hotter up north where those hikes are. But this next hike will definitely be much cooler because it'll be centered around either a lake, river, something like that. But I'm probably heading up to Flagstaff Thursday or Friday, depending on how the week goes.
Cool. There's Claudia Faust, and you can check out all of Claudia's content on the website, and she does On the Rocks. It is terrific. Good seeing you. Give me some golf lessons, and we'll catch up soon, all right?
I'm going to golf right now. See ya.
Yeah, later. There's Claudia. A couple things before I get out of here in this segment. So, we'll have Sam Monson here in a couple of moments with Pro Football Focus. The Suns, they're just in this space now where they're trying to finish out the season without getting injured. They played a lousy Oklahoma City team. They're going to play a lousy Cleveland team. And these are games that they should win. And if they don't, I'm not going to sit here and jump up and down because it's a long season. And the postseason, you've got to be rested up. I am not about load management, but I am about, you know, you don't really have to play 8 minutes in the opening quarter. Instead, you're going to play six. That's not load management. Load management is you're not going to play tonight. I'm not about that. The Diamondbacks have won, 10 of 13? They're 15 and 13. I thought they were going to stink and Torrey would be on the hot seat by the middle of May. I'm wrong. And I'm glad I'm wrong because the team's actually kind of fun to watch. They're not the most exciting team, but they're not terrible. The draft, Aaron Rodgers stole the draft show. like there's the hardcore, and that's fine, about what do you think about Zaven Collins. But I had more people saying we should trade Kyler Murray for Aaron Rodgers. When the Aaron Rodgers news came out, the draft was just kind of like, yeah, okay, it's fine, it's important, but what is going to happen with Aaron Rodgers? In fact, I'm going to ask Sam about that here on the other side. Sam Monson with Pro Football Focus is next on the NFL draft and how the Cardinals did. And then Jude LaCava and Bruce Cooper on a busy Monday. Stay with us. All right, let's take a deeper dive into the Arizona Cardinals draft. It's always good to catch up with the guys at PFF, Pro Football Focus. Sam Monson has been with us before, lead NFL analyst. You can follow them on Twitter at PFF. He is the host of the PFF NFL podcast. Big picture, what'd you make out of the Cardinals?
I like the Cardinals draft. Zaven Collins is an interesting player to take in the middle of the first round. It's a little bit higher than we would have drafted him, but I'm very intrigued by what it does to that defense, which is collecting this group of players that are extremely versatile, that can play sort of multiple different positions, and kind of gives them the potential to have this really multiple looking defense with guys like JJ Watt that can move around, Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons, Buda Baker, all these guys that can kind of move seamlessly between a couple of different roles within the defense and really cause opposing offenses some problems. Rondale Moore, I think, is one of the, this is the, one of the best fits for him of any team in the NFL. You know, you go back to that freshman season where he was one of the most electrifying players in college football. Obviously injuries and issues with this weird COVID season kind of caused him some problems from then on in. And he never really developed beyond that forced gimmick type of role at Purdue. So I think if you're going to draft Rondale Moore, you need to have a plan for him, or you need to have a role for him in mind. And then while he's doing that and making plays, you know, figure out what else he can do and how expansive that role can become in the future. The Cardinals have that role already in the offense. They've kind of been force feeding Larry Fitzgerald those sorts of targets for the past couple of seasons because, you know, as Fitzgerald aged, he was still had great hands, still a great leader, still was able to make some plays after the catch because he's big and strong, but he'd lost the ability to get open. You know, he wasn't going to beat anybody for speed or athleticism. So they were forcing Larry Fitzgerald screens, you know, quick catches, the kind of gimmick things that typically go to a guy like Rondale Moore just to make sure that he stayed involved in the offense. So that role already exists. You can now just replace Larry Fitzgerald with Rondale Moore, and suddenly you're throwing those passes to a guy that runs a 4.240, can jump out of the gym, can make people just miss, go grasping at air, falling to the floor. So I really love that pick. And then late on in the draft, I think they got a potential steal in Tay Gowan, the corner from UCF, who, you know, has a lot of NFL traits. Obviously, when you pick a guy that low down, it's a long shot for him to contribute and be a meaningful player for you going forward. But I think Tay Gowan has the capacity to do that.
That's good stuff. Sam Monson with us at PFF. Make sure you follow Pro Football Focus. Let me go back for a minute on Zaven Collins, because there is that group of fan base that says, look, he wasn't in a Power 5 conference, so he really hasn't played against great competition. Break that down for fans as to what you saw out of him, and does that really make that big of a deal in your guys' metrics?
Yeah, it's always, I think it's more of a tiebreaker than anything else, or if you've never seen a guy play good competition. But there are good defenses and good offenses in, you know, the group of five schools or even at the FCS level. You just have to pay attention to exactly what the competition is. And if a guy is clearly just beating up on, you know, bad athletes or inferior physical specimens, and that's one thing. But if he's just playing teams that aren't Alabama, that's not necessarily a deal breaker. And I think with Zaven Collins, you know, you saw him play against good competition, good opposition, and beat legitimate players at times. And, you know, ultimately, when you're the size he is, checking in at 260, 270 pounds, he's not going to suddenly come up against guys that are physically overwhelming him the way you might be concerned about if you were looking at a linebacker that was, you know, 220 pounds and destroying a lower level of competition. So yeah, it's something that factors in once you know you're looking at a guy that's playing at a lower level. you pay a little bit more attention to exactly who he's going up against. But I don't think you can just dismiss it as, you know, guy plays for a small school. It's clearly a worse thing than a guy playing in the SEC.
What does Pro Football Focus make out of the overall offseason of the Cardinals? Because they brought in a lot of flashy big names. Do they have gas left in the tank is one question. The other side is they've missed on draft picks. Now the draft is complete. What do you make out of the entire offseason of the Cardinals?
I think it's been a pretty good one. I'm intrigued. I think the Cardinals probably ended last season about where you would have expected them to before the year. But because of the way they did it, you know, they got off to a hot start and I think almost artificially raised expectations. And then the season ended in a relative disappointment compared with where those expectations were. I think the overall opinion on the team is a little bit down, a little bit more negative than it should be if you just sort of look at it on a year-by-year progression. But because of that, this is a big year. You know, now is the make or break season for everybody involved, Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury. This is when things need to start happening. And I do like the players that they brought in. JJ Watt, I think, is going to be the most fascinating one because he does still have that position versatility, can play inside and outside. Last year was the first real sign of a decline in his play. You know, he'd missed time before with injuries, but when he'd been on the field, he'd been playing at an elite level, maybe not quite, you know, defensive player of the year kind of level that he was before all the injuries started to take, but was still playing amongst the best pass rushers in the NFL. He wasn't quite at that level last year. And I wonder, this is a year for him to prove, well, was that just a relatively average run of games for him, or has that decline started to take hold? And if it has, are there ways that the team can mitigate that by alignment or whatever? I still think that, you know, even if he has started to decline as an edge rusher force, I think he would be a significantly better player moved back inside the way he began his career as a sort of interior pass rushing force. And maybe that would be a way of the Cardinals getting him back to a truly elite level, even if he has started to decline. So I think overall it's been a good offseason for Arizona. And the division looks as tough and as interesting as ever next year.
Yeah, I mean, really, if Chandler Jones comes back healthy, Isaiah Simmons shows progress in year two, Zaven Collins makes an impact as a rookie, a lot of ifs, right? But at least they're out there for them.
Yeah, and they're not alone with that. You know, there's a lot of teams for whom that's true, particularly, I think, this year, because last year there was, you know, no offseason program, no preseason really for these guys. So particularly a player like Isaiah Simmons, who was always going to be some kind of project, you know, was going to require a significant transition to start to play a real NFL role, as opposed to that kind of unique joker job that he had in college, because he was just such a physical athlete and a specimen that they were able to deploy everywhere on that defense. It was always going to take Simmons some time to adjust, but he didn't have the real training camp, the preseason to start working that. And his first exposure was getting just tortured by Kyle Shanahan, you know, one of the best in the business of being able to target weaknesses on a defense and exploit them. So I think there's a reasonable expectation that Simmons should take a big leap this year, and a bigger leap that you would normally expect from, you know, a sophomore player coming into year two. And I think that's true across the league. There's a lot of guys that struggled as rookies or struggle in their first year in a new system. And we can probably expect a bigger jump in year two from them than you would normally expect to see.
Sam Monson with us, Pro Football Focus. Before I get you out of here, two quick questions. One is, whose draft did you just absolutely love? And whose did you absolutely say, what are they thinking?
There were a couple I loved. I really liked Chicago's. Obviously, they finally made the big move for a quarterback that could potentially completely transform that franchise. You know, give them a guy that's legitimate for the first time in years. I really liked what the Chargers did. They continued to rebuild the offensive line in front of Justin Herbert. They got Asante Samuel Jr., who's a potential difference maker at corner. They had a great draft. Bad draft. I mean, I think the Raiders are consistently just, they have their own board and they don't care what anybody else values these players at. And they're going to take them wherever they have them, which would be one thing if they were hitting on these picks, but they've had six first round picks now in 3 years. And those guys have not contributed well. They have not been plus players for that team. And actually, using PFF's numbers, they have combined for a negative war wins above replacement, right? So if you just threw six random guys out there, they'd have done a better job than the six first round picks that the Raiders have had. So this has been a potential chance for them to define this franchise in a different direction, and they haven't done it so far.
And the last question, this is just news of the day, and everybody's talking about what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I don't know if PFF has something that they look at that you folks look at and say, here's what our spin on Jordan Love is. Here's what our spin on Aaron Rodgers is and everything going on in Green Bay.
I mean, we didn't love Jordan Love as a prospect when he came out. He was a raw player with some talent who was coming off not a great year, wasn't phenomenal the year before that, which is the one that people will look to sort of see his upside. So look, Jordan Love could become a player. On the other hand, he was their third quarterback all last season. So the Packers didn't even love him enough during his rookie season to have him as the primary backup to Aaron Rodgers, which may be a concerning thing in and of itself. Ultimately, you know, Rodgers, I think, changed everything there by coming in, having that MVP season, playing at a level that I don't know many people thought he was still capable of. And that now that he wants out, I don't know that Green Bay have an answer. You know, they're probably going to be left with this situation where they need to make a call of whether they can trade him, you know, bite the bullet, trade him, get what they can in return, or whether they refuse to let that happen and dig their heels in and say, look, you're either playing for Green Bay or you're not playing again. Your only way out of here is retirement. And I honestly don't know for them which is the better option, because is it better to accept that Rodgers may have a shot at a Super Bowl somewhere like Denver, but at least you can get a first round pick and something else back in exchange? Or just to say, look, we don't want to run the risk of us being in a quarterback starved situation and our quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, going off and winning championships somewhere else.
Yeah, and out here we have fans saying trade Kyler Murray for Aaron Rodgers. But, of course, that's what happens the day after or the weekend after the Aaron Rodgers news comes out. Everybody's trying to figure out how to make it work. Hey, Sam, as always, I appreciate your work. Great job that you do at PFF. Make sure you folks give him a follow. Sam Monson, thanks.
Thanks. Take it easy.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, and I laid this out earlier, both Jude LaCava and Bruce Cooper in the pandemic left us, and not like off the earth, but they left the world of sports media, and they went in different directions, I think is really cool. But this I know, both these two, you're talking like 70 years of market knowledge between the two of them, not one of them, between the two of them. And there's just no way that I'm going to let that go by the wayside. I wanted to have them on to talk about what they're doing. And, you know, the Cardinals overall, not just the draft stuff, but just where they're at. Jude, you look great. Haven't seen you. What are you doing these days, Jude?
Well, I'm actually interning through ASU at a cancer clinic, and we're working on a couple of interesting ideas in the fight against cancer. One of my dear friends, Clark Frederick, who I started out with at Fox 10 years ago, lost his battle to leukemia. Tommy Tomaso, the famous restaurateur, lost his battle to glio and lung cancer. So we're working with Dr. Stephen Johnston on an immunosignature test that can detect cancer before it ever happens, 3 months wow. before, prostate, breast, melanoma. So it's been a fantastic experience. I get over there 3 times a week, and I have a chance to just learn more about cancer. And as a young guy, 20 years old, I lost my mom to breast cancer. She was an experimental patient at NIH. And, you know, that whole story. And then my wife's very best friend lost her battle to pancreatic cancer. She used to work at KTAR as a sales rep. And we decided to jump in the battle. It was high time to at least try to do something to fight the fight. And that's what I've been doing.
That's great. And Coop, why don't you fill people in on where you're at these days?
Well, as many of you know, that I used to host something called Turkey Tuesday at Channel 12, and it benefited St. Vincent de Paul. I did that for 25 years. And so the great Steve Zabilski, executive director of St. Vincent de Paul, gave me a call and asked if I would want to try working with them for a little bit. So I agreed to do it on a part-time basis. So doing that with St. Vincent de Paul, learning so much, Brad and Jude, about what that organization is all about, it's much, much deeper than I ever thought.
That's great. That's great. Jude, what are we missing with Coop not being on the air? What are we missing, Jude, with that, with no Bruce
experience
Cooper?
And wherewithal, and a guy that understood the market as good as anybody. And I've always been a fan of Coop's. I mean, I thought his Michael Jordan spoof on the way out was fantastic. I was I enjoyed being a small part of that, but it's the experience factor. And look, I think some of the guys that have taken over are just, they value their opportunity. But it's experience, it's knowing the market, it's knowing the players, and it's the relationships that really, to this day, I still stay in touch with Dan Marley. Thought he was going to take the Central Michigan job. But I miss those relationships and the big playoff games that really matter, whether it's Cardinals or Suns. And it's great to see, by the way, the Suns' success. Finally, they're back in.
Yeah. Coop, what are we missing with Jude not in, on the air?
Oh, let me tell you something. Jude just knew everyone. There's this Rolodex with players, Rolodex with coaches, Rolodex with GMs. He is so respected that, you know, it just resonates. And so, you know, I consider it a great joy and a great privilege to be called a friend of Jude LaCoppa's. Let me tell you what he does, Brad. It's the little things that people don't know. When I was going through my own medical issues, this man, Jude LaCoppa, picking up his phone, he's giving a call. He's checking up on me all the time. So in addition to being a great ambassador for the media, our local media here, as it relates to the athletes, players, and general managers and fans, he's also a great dear friend.
That is good. That is good. All right. Sledgehammer time, or fly swatter time, as the late, great Joe Gilmartin would use the term. With the Cardinals, they've missed the playoffs 5 straight years. Guys, I know both of you are involved in other things, but I know this to be true about both of you. It's not like you've just shut the eyes out completely and totally. Jude, it's been 5 years. What is going on with the Cardinals, and do you have faith that they're getting it headed in the right direction?
Well, I love the deal for DeAndre Hopkins and the acquisition of A.J. Green. I really think it comes down to the development of Kyler Murray, his leadership skills, his ability to command the huddle and just offer a presence of leadership. I think that's part of the equation that I think has been missing. And hopefully Cliff, and I understand Sean Coogler, will be more involved with the running plays, the run game. Hopefully, you got to give this guy, look, he comes out with a 21-year-old, a little undersized, but his arm talent and his ability on the football field is unmistakable. He is a star waiting to happen. Is there enough supporting cast around him? And yet, you still got to look at the division. Stafford going to the Rams, and unless something happens with Russell Wilson, he's staying with the Seahawks. I still think they're the third best team in the NFC West.
Coop?
Well, Brad, I look back at last year, weeks 16 and 17 in particular, home game against the 49ers with basically a G League roster, backup quarterback. Mm. The following week in Los Angeles, again, they're without their starting quarterback. Cardinals win and they're in either one of those games. And they don't do it. And so what I've noticed that Steve Keim is doing that I really do like, it's the people like J.J. Watt. You mentioned A.J. Green, Rodney Hudson, Malcolm Butler. They're bringing in veteran guys who can make others accountable or who can make a play and others behind them can see it and gain some confidence. Because that Cardinal team, I think they were scared of the moment. They didn't even play like this. They had any urgency about them. Their pants weren't on fire. They were just out there looking like a deer in the headlights. I mean, so I like the fact that they're bringing in some veteran players who actually can show or lead the way and change the culture in that locker room.
You know, the great Peter King with me a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Cardinals, and Peter said, They have a lot of nice names. Kind of shrugged his shoulders. So is it the same sort of thing, guys, Jude? I mean, it's just they're stocking up here for mistakes in the draft, obviously misses, but you can bring in all these nice names. We don't know if they're going to be healthy. We don't know if they're going to be able to play.
Yeah, that, you know, you got to look at J.J. Watt's injury history. Look, you have the makings of a team that could make some noise, but I still go back to the quarterback. We all know it's a quarterback league. Is Kyler Murray willing to step up in a leadership role to be that guy that everybody looks in that huddle and says, he's our guy? And I think J.J. Watt said it best. He says, this is one of the reasons why I came here. But it still is a work in progress. And we're still dealing with a guy in Cliff Kingsbury. I thought some of his play calling was somewhat questionable at times. But can they borrow on the experience of the rest of that staff? And, you know, Kugler coming over from the Steelers is certainly a positive. But there's still a lot of questions. And the only way you answer those questions is by winning football games. It's that simple.
Is Cliff on your hot seat to start out this season?
I don't think he's on the hot seat to start out this out the season, Brad. I would place Steve Keim more on the hot seat. I mean, he's got to get this coaching hire right. I mean, Steve Wilks then only lasted a year, right? He can't keep making the same mistakes, not only in the draft, but in the hiring processes to find a leader to lead the team. So I look more at Steve Keim to start out the season on the hot seat than I do Cliff Kingsbury, to be honest with you.
Jude, you agree or disagree on that one?
No, I agree. I think when you spend the kind of money that they're spending, you know, J.J. Watt came in somewhat of a bargain. A.J. Green won your deal. But, yeah, I would agree with right moves. And until this team gets to the postseason, Mike Bidwell will pressure him and say, look, man, I'm investing a lot of money in this team. I've invested a lot of money in Cliff and a long-term contract. Bottom line is I got to see results, and I got to see that relatively soon. Having said that, I'll switch over to the Suns. I'm a big fan of Monty Williams. I understand that Robert Sarver has kind of stayed out of the mix. It's changed the dynamic of this team in a remarkable way. And, you know, look, this is James Jones has proven himself in a very short period of time as a guy that figured it out. And I think Keim has to take on that same kind of role. I've got to make the moves that are going to be effective for this football team.
Yeah, I guess I'm on the side of the street of, I've had this conversation for years, it feels like, when it comes to Steve and the Cardinals. Right, guys? I mean, this has been an ongoing theme.
Right.
Did I miss something with Robert Kimdichie? Yes. I mean, did I miss something with Josh Rosen? Did I miss something with Steve Wilks? Just feel as though, like, Mike's not going to part with Steve. Those two are just joined together, and it doesn't matter how loud the roar comes, and Steve can come around and say, look, I hit on this guy and this guy and this guy in free agency this year, and that well may be true, but I would be with both of you guys, but I just feel like no matter what happens, Michael's never going to part ways with Steve. It's just how it is. Before I get to both of you out of here.
I think he's got –
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
He's got control of Steve, and I think he likes that. But it still comes down. It's a performance league, Brad. We all know that. And you got to get to the postseason if you want to extend a guy like Steve Keim. I do think he is on the hot seat.
All right, before I get the two of you out of here, let's switch gears briefly over to Arizona State, because I know this to be true about the Sun Devils, at least from a public relations standpoint. This is the year. This is the year. Doug Howler, who we both love and all three of us love and respect and does a great job, referred to them on the air with me about 2 months ago as Next Year University. They're Next Year University because they've always been Next Year University. But this year, is this the year? As much as Herm has done great things from a PR standpoint, they're 17-13 under Herm Edwards. Coop, is this the year that the Sun Devils don't go to a place called El Paso or a place called Las Vegas or a place called San Diego, that they actually go to a Rose Bowl game where they're not playing UCLA. Bruce, where are you on this one?
Brad, if they're not playing USC for the Pac-12 South Division title, there is a colossal disappointment. Matter of fact, I do echo some of what Doug Haller is saying in this regard. This is a veteran ASU squad. So many of the players are coming back for another year. I mean, their secondary in particular. I mean, there is so much experience. I mean, we're talking about five and six year players here now. Yep. And to me, it comes down to, can Jaden Daniels outplay Keaton Slovis at the quarterback position? If he can do that, I like ASU to play for the Pac-12 title, probably against Oregon, maybe Washington. And if that happens, then I think Doug Haller will be smiling. But I do think this is without question, Herm Edwards' best team that he's had here. I mean, those running backs that we saw last year. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Jude?
This is their best chance. They've got to do something. The time is now. The pressure is on now from Ray Anderson to Herm Edwards. I don't care. You know, it's still a business. You still got to, you know, hopefully everybody gets vaccinated and you see a packed Sun Devil Stadium. But this is a year. But I want to bring this out. What a disappointment for Bobby Hurley. I really had high hopes for him and sat in on a few practices along the way. But, man, I can't figure out the transferring and everything else that's going with it. It's disappointing. I mean, to me, he's on the hot seat. If you can't do it after, what, 5-6 years in the program, there's something wrong there. And I've always felt that as a coach, he gives his guards way too much freedom. And there's not enough structure within that program. And if he doesn't get it done and make some noise getting to a tournament, ASAP.
Well, Jude, Bobby had, established ASU as guard U. I mean, the guards that he were bringing in, and what ASU had, what, two consecutive 21 season postseason berths saved last year's pandemic. Then he gets Josh Christopher, Marcus Bagley, a couple of hotshot recruits that came in to the point to where you said, wow, Bobby Hurley really is on top of things. But like you said, to see this mass exodus, I mean, I don't understand it. Transfer after transfer after transfer. Then Marcus Bagley, who not only decides to turn pro like Joshua Crisper does, he says that, hey, another option I'm going to have, I'm entering the transfer portal. So it seems like if he does come back, he's going to go back to another university. So, again, I hear you. I don't understand what happened this past year. It looked like everything was trending in the right way. And all of a sudden, Bobby Hurley is a guy that everyone's trying to run away from. I thought it spoke volumes when Jalen House, says, I'm done. Wow.
What do you guys miss most?
Yeah,
sports stuff.
What
do you miss most?
That's absolutely right. There's a lot more there for sure.
What do you miss most, Jude, about the sports scene?
Other big games. I think the intensity of a playoff game, whether it be Cardinals or Suns, D-backs. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out this year for Torrey. But I think it's the relationships, the friendships, the connections with some of the players and coaches that you've known for so many years. Mm-hmm. That part is not easily replaced, Brad, to be honest with you.
And Coop?
Yeah. No doubt. You know what I'm beginning to really get a little itch for right now? It's seeing what the Phoenix Suns have already accomplished. We already know they'll be in the postseason. And I hearken back to those days where, I didn't know how much I would miss these days when the San Antonio Spurs just caused me so much grief as a journalist and fan covering the Suns. And yet I went through this 10-year drought with no playoffs. I said, gosh, I miss those heartaches. But now here the Phoenix Suns are. I'm so excited about what I see from them. I mean, look, we were talking about all the veteran players that the Cardinals are bringing in, and we said, well, we don't know what they're going to do. Well, I didn't even know that Chris Paul was going to have this profound of an impact. I mean, the Suns, what, they have the best record in the entire NBA? I mean, who saw that coming? And so I'm just so impressed by this team. Monty Williams just – He's so grounded. And I think Jude hit the nail on the head. I mean, when we talked about James Jones, he's been criticized for a lot of moves, but you go back and you study all those moves, it seems like he has the Midas touch right now. Every move he makes, I know fans were a little disappointed that they weren't going out and getting LaMarcus Aldridge or PJ Tucker. And then they see we get some guy named who do we get from Milwaukee? I can't think of his name right now. Number 12.
Yeah.
And so we'll watch this kid play, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, he's making all the right moves. So I'm really starting to miss that I won't be a part of that scene, you know, because I think it's going to be really special. And I'm going to sit back and watch it on TV as opposed to being caught up in that atmosphere.
What don't you miss, Jude, about the business? What don't you miss?
Going out to practices at 10 a.m. and then trying to do a full shift, getting home at midnight, you know, the grind, that part I don't miss. I mean, I'll miss the friendships, the relationships, as I said earlier, but the schedule at the very end of it really got to me. And that I don't miss, to be honest with you. There's a certain pressure of performance, I would call it. You want to be on, you want to get the latest news, you want to get the latest scoop. I don't miss that part of it because you put more pressure on yourself, just like any player would, to get the job done well. But having said that, I think Richard Sein, Sierra Santos, they're doing a great job, and I'm ecstatic to see their success. And hopefully things can get back to normal by the fall where they can start connecting with the players and getting back to normal. I think we're all ready for normal. But I don't miss the everyday grind of it. That's for sure.
Coop, same, ditto.
Yeah. I echo what he's saying. And I don't miss the weekends. I don't miss the holidays. You know, I'm working weekends and working holidays and yes, missing out on a lot of family stuff. You know, I don't miss that part. This past year, for the first time, I mean, I didn't mind seeing games go to overtime. I didn't mind seeing games go to extra innings because I didn't have to turn things around. So, but you got to just end it so I can get the highlights and go on and get on. I didn't miss that. I enjoyed it. So, yeah, it was big time fun.
Come back. I don't want to bug you guys too much because you guys are doing far more important work than the sports end of it. It's meant for fun and games and the entertainment and the distraction in life. We're the candy store. Come back and keep doing great work, guys. Appreciate the time and the insight.
Brad, I appreciate you putting this together. I hadn't seen Jude since he left. It's just great to be among you two great icons for sure. No doubt about it.
See you guys. Stay in touch. There's Jude LaCava. There's Bruce Cooper. And we're back with more after this time. Great to see you, buddy. Thank you.